Hello, I'm Michelle Hanratty. Thank you for listening to Sound Optometry. Just a reminder that you will no longer receive a CPD point by listening to this episode of the podcast. But if you subscribe and listen to the most recent episodes of Sound Optometry, you can gain CPD points. I hope you enjoy this episode of Sound Optometry. Hello, I'm optometrist Michelle Hanratty. Welcome to Sound Optometry. This is the podcast from Docket, part of a high-quality continuing education and training programme for all UK-registered optometrists. You can gain one CET point by listening to this podcast and completing the exercise on our website, docket.info. With case studies and in-depth conversations, these podcasts explore the topics that matter the most to us optometrists. This month, it's speaking up. Our work is all about making the lives of patients better, whether that's prescribing new spectacles or identifying and managing a more serious condition. But what if you witness something that you feel puts patients at risk? An unsafe practice or procedure that you're not happy with? Hopefully, you'd be able to talk to your manager about it, and hopefully, it will get sorted out. But what if it isn't? That's where the concepts of raising concerns, speaking up, and whistleblowing come in. In a moment, we'll talk more about what these concepts are and how the processes of speaking up should work with David Hewlett, Director for Leadership, Transformation, and Strategic Partnerships at FODO. First, Richard Hollingham has been speaking to a locum optometrist who's been concerned about the practices that she's experienced in some of her workplaces. She's asked to remain anonymous, so her answers are voiced by another producer.
The main thing we're experiencing is the volume of patients that we're seeing in the amount of time. Sometimes we're having to squeeze extra patients in when we don't have the capacity. The potential to miss serious eye conditions is extremely high. We are unable to practice safely if we're being squeezed to our limits. Secondly, there's the business question. I do feel that optometry is becoming dependent on the retail aspect. This brings about huge conflicts of interest.
And what are your options for speaking up or for whistleblowing?
From my personal experience, I found that when I'm speaking to line managers and directors, they listen. They absolutely listen. And the idea that you get when you speak to them is, yes, we are concerned about what you're saying, but then nothing really gets done. I know a colleague who's raised concerns and later has lost work as a result. And it's not because they're a bad optometrist, they're fantastic, clinically and retail-wise as well. But it's been very obvious that the amount of work coming in from that particular company has been significantly reduced.
So does optometry need a cultural change?
Yes, absolutely. I think there needs to be a clear distinction between the retail and the clinical side of things. I think there needs to be much better process for raising concerns because it's not clear for anybody at the moment.
We're joined now by FODO Group Director David Hewlett. Hi David, thanks for joining us.
Hi, great to be with you.
Can you start by explaining the difference between raising concerns, speaking up and whistleblowing?
Well, they're three interrelated concepts, of course, but raising concerns is what we all do, and we all do it already. So whistleblowing comes from specific legislation that protects workers in making disclosures about things in the workplace. And these are particularly serious things like criminal offences, health and safety matters, miscarriages of justice, environmental harm, and those sorts of things. Speaking up is something that's slightly different. It's more modern, more recent, and it's really a combination of a concept, a process, and a movement, in fact. This started in the hospital sector, as we know, where it's been relatively successful as a movement and as a system. And about 18 months ago, the National Guardian approached primary care, telling us that NHS England had asked us to extend the concepts into the primary care area. And of course, that includes optometry and optics. We thought about how best to do it and create a culture that applies across the whole of the optical sector, from top to bottom, the smallest practice to the largest companies, the most senior player in the companies, down to the most recent recruit. So we're all working within a common system and a common understanding to actually make speaking up part of the way we do optometry and optics in the UK.
The concept of speaking up is becoming increasingly important. The locum we spoke to decided to leave rather than carry on working with what she saw was as unsafe practices. So that's not ideal, is it?
Yes, it was an interesting interview, and it raises, of course, many questions because it's multi-layered. But as described, no, it's not ideal. I was encouraged to hear that the optometrist, when she had raised the issues, had actually been listened to positively and understood. But then something seemed to go wrong somewhere in the system. And it's precisely that we're trying to address by getting us all, employers, employees, everyone, working to the same very simple and understandable set of concepts and system, and making this part of what we do every day. So with a bit of luck, I'm hoping that the guidance we're working on as the optical representative bodies will provide just that framework and structure to reduce the risk of these sorts of situations developing in future.
So whistleblowing itself seems laden with responsibility and consequence, and that's why there are processes in place to protect people who whistleblow, whereas speaking up seems much less scary.
Speaking up really is about anything that gets in the way of providing good care and doing the job properly. And the National Guardian's Office takes a very, very wide definition of speaking up. So it can be about anything and everything. And it's part of the way you do business. And we're used to doing it in the clinical setting. And this is just extends it a little bit more around the edges of that. The challenge for employers is to recognize a whistleblower, if I can use that term, when it happens. Because a whistleblower still is a whistleblower and still has the same protections, whether the person making it realizes it is or not. So, for example, a colleague may be raising an issue about another colleague's attitude or behavior, or something quite simple, or a piece of kit, or an issue to do with a piece of kit, but it might reveal a far bigger issue, which they themselves may not even be aware of. So employers, and I use that in the widest sense from everyone in a managerial position, needs to be aware and to listen very carefully for when a potential whistleblowing issue is being raised, as well as part of the wider speaking up.
The new guidance on speaking up aims to spell out what individuals should do. But David, as a sneak preview, is there any particular advice within that guidance that is the most useful in your opinion?
Write down exactly what they are concerned about, where they raise the concern, how, with whom and when, and what happened, and to do that as contemporaneously as possible. And the reason for that is, of course, anyone who's been involved in regulatory matters knows that everyone very quickly forgets times, dates, places, who, where and when. So just noting that down, just as we would note things down in a clinical record, is a very good way of doing it. And also our advice will say to practitioners, and indeed all staff, it applies to everybody, is to try and make clear, if you can, that you're raising a concern. Now, many people will be using their practice or their company's protocol for doing that, and we'll have a model framework for doing that for companies and businesses and practices. But if they do that at the same time and saying, I'm raising a concern, or I'm raising a concern under this piece of the guidance, then that is also a good signal to managers just to double check that there might be other issues behind this concern that they should think about. But the aim is for us all to work within the same system to make everything safer, both for patients and the public, but also I think we would add in for colleagues as well. This is to protect us all, protect one another, and make what we do better for patients.
Yes, so you've mentioned, David, that you're about to release some guidance, and the GOC are currently holding a consultation about speaking up guidance. So in the meantime, before those documents are released, if an optometrist is uncertain about when to act and how to act, what guidance is there out there at the moment that they can refer to? I accept that it may change in the next 6 to 12 months, but what's out there now?
We're all working on this together. And in fact, the GOC and the college are also cited on what we as the representative bodies will be doing, as well as Optometry Scotland, Wales and Northern Ireland. We're talking as a sector, and we do these things collectively. We work on them collectively as the bodies, and we come up with a framework for everyone. So that will be coming. The GOC, as you rightly say, is currently consulting on guidance. They have existing raising concerns guidance, which is still current. And of course, the college has guidance. And in addition, many of the large companies will have their own company practices, which are already there. But I would put in a plug here for the optical representative bodies in particular. You all pay for this, so do use us. We, of course, as well as being representative bodies, are also defence bodies. And so we will have your interests at heart. And when you're raising concerns and we're advising you, we can help you do that in a way that guarantees that you're enjoying all the protections you should and that you're doing it appropriately and properly. It shouldn't be too much fear about this. This is just something we should be doing as part of normal practice. And hopefully, when the new guidance is published, it'll be part of normal business as usual within practices of all sizes and just part of what we do.
I think that's really good to hear, actually, David, because I think as a practitioner, you may see something or be aware of something that you're not quite comfortable about, and you don't really know if it's significant enough to be a concern. But actually knowing someone is there to help you, it's actually quite good, because it can guide you, can't it? It's not just about, actually, I'm reporting something. It's actually, I need to speak to someone to get advice. Actually, is this significant? Do I need to report it? And actually, where do I go from now?
So that's absolutely. That's really what we're all there for. We are very willing to help. You will find there will be speaking up guardians in all of the national bodies. The GOC has already announced it's going to have a speaking up team, but the representative bodies will have it as well. And of course, our interests are absolutely to make sure that you make an effective disclosure and it's acted upon in the interests of public and patient safety. But we'll also be there safeguarding you. And of course, there's the new guardian system. I think what we'll be announcing under the collective guidance is that in England, each of the LOC regional groups will also have a trained and resourced speaking up guardian, so that people will have a wide range of choices to go to just to get independent advice. So there will be lots of resources available throughout the sector and lots of places people can go, not to make a complaint, but just to say, look, this is worrying me. I don't quite like it. Perhaps even I don't know why, but there's something that feels wrong. What should I do? How can I progress? And we will all be willing and ready to help get that issue clarified and resolved.
Thanks, David. We'll talk more in a moment. You're listening to Sound Optometry with me, Michelle Hanratty. Every month, we explore topics that matter the most to us optometrists. We'd love to hear from you with any suggestions for subjects or questions you might have about any of the areas that we've covered. You can email us at podcast@docket.info or tweet at Sound Optometry. This month, we're looking at speaking up. The importance of speaking up is still being highlighted by recent and ongoing cases, such as the Patterson Inquiry and the hundreds of deaths at the Gosport War Memorial Hospital. The role of Freedom to Speak Up Guardian is key to the concept and was created 5 years ago as a recommendation after the Mid-Staffordshire Hospital Trust scandal. They're now well established in secondary care, but last year, Chair of the Tees LOC, Julie Breen, became the first primary care Freedom to Speak Up Guardian for optometry. She explained to Richard Hollingham what her role involves.
The first part of the process for any Freedom to Speak Up guardian is to thank whoever has spoken up for speaking up, because it's a big thing. And to have somebody to actually thank them for speaking up and take note of what they are saying is sometimes the thing that really needed to be done. It seemed they needed to be heard. And the second is that if processes have been followed and things haven't resolved, or processes can't be followed, it's the guardian that kind of drives the process, as it were, to get the outcome. But we're not advocates. So we're not there to handhold. We're not there to support somebody, although we do check in a lot. So it does feel like support. It's like it's very difficult. They're like, we're not supporting you, but we're talking to you all the time. So we're not there to advocate for somebody, but to see that process through to the end.
Let's say, though, someone comes to you and says, I've got the situation, I want to speak up, but they work for maybe one of the large optometrists companies. How does that work in practice? Do you go to sort of talk to someone at head office, or how does it work?
It's a good question, isn't it? Well, I don't know. the easy answer is I don't know, because nobody has as yet spoken up, which I think is either nobody knows I'm around, which is, well, they probably don't, but also I think it may be that optometry isn't going to be as active as maybe secondary care was to begin with. But yes, I would envisage that to be the case, that if somebody spoke up to me, although there are plans to have guardians within the bigger companies as well, and it may be that a concern needs to be dealt with by the guardian within that company. And I expect that I will have a relationship with the guardians within those companies, or the guardians will all have relationships with each other.
It's obviously early days at the moment, but I suppose the point is you can do this and the person who comes to you doesn't need to feel that they're job is under threat, or if they're a locum they won't get more work. You're there and you can do this, so they don't have to, if you like.
That is the biggest concern of anyone who speaks up, is detriment to their position if they speak up, and that's something that we don't absolutely do not want to be the case. That was the biggest concern, I think, when freedom to speak up first came into secondary care, and it's still a concern, but significantly less so because it's becoming part of the culture. But I've worked as an employee, as an employer, I have been a locum, and I can see certainly in positions where you are a locum, where you don't have any standing, it's very difficult to see an issue and feel that you can say something about it.
And so what would be your message to people, someone who thinks, I've got something here, I want to speak up, but I'm concerned?
Yeah, if there's something getting in the way of you doing the best job you can for your patients, then that's a reason to speak up. So if someone speaks up to me, I thank them for doing that. And then it's my job then to get the ball rolling. So they don't really need to worry about that.
And ultimately, this is all about patient safety, isn't it? And it's the welfare of patients.
Absolutely, yes, yeah. We go to work to do the best job we can. And if something's getting in the way of that, or even if you're doing a good job and you could do it better and you need to say something that will make the job better, that's all it's about. It's just, you know, we want to go to work and we want to do the best job we can for the patients. Let's face it, that's why we go to work in the first place, isn't it? To make people's lives better.
Optometrist Julie Breen, the first primary care optometry Freedom to Speak Up guardian. Still with me is David Hewlett, Group Director at FODO. As Julie says, her role is new. But how would an individual go about raising a concern?
So the first thing you'd do is raise it with the person concerned if you felt able to. So, for example, I don't know, if you felt that a colleague wasn't donning and doffing their PPE in quite the right way, or was increasing risk, or whatever it might be, you would gently, you know, raise it with them as you would any other issue. If you can't do that, you would raise it within the practice with the manager or a senior optometrist. And if that didn't work, or you couldn't do that for some reason, you'd escalate it within the business. So if it's a company, you'll have regional managers or a superintendent optometrist or others to go to. And then ultimately, of course, if you're not getting any success, or it's sufficiently serious that something needs to be done urgently and it's not happening, you might raise it externally with one of the speaking up bodies, or you'll be consulting a guardian if you've got one as you go through this process to be helping you. But local is the best way to start. Personal is the best way to start if you can, and then you escalate it as appropriate.
Many optometrists are very acutely aware about the potential conflict of interest in optometry between the clinical and the caring side and the business side. So have you come across that in your caseload?
Well, it's a constant, really, in the way that primary care is delivered in the UK, and it applies in exactly the same way to pharmacists and audiologists and GPs as it does to us. But you're right, there are tensions there. There always are tensions. There always have been tensions, and they need to be managed. And where they rub up against one another, that's the area precisely where we should be using the new framework for clinicians to talk to managers and agree what is the best thing to do in the appropriate circumstances. The GOC has clear rules on this, standards that apply both to optical businesses and to registrants. And so using those rules and using the new framework is a way for people to seek a constructive environment, if you like, in which they can discuss these issues and, we hope, agree a way forward.
So David, if someone did raise a concern, what would typically happen next?
Well, as I say, the response should be pretty much the same as if a patient had made a complaint, i.e. one, you thank them for doing it because it's helpful and it'll alert us to potentially something serious that we need to put right. And we should always get a response. The person receiving the concern that's being raised should give an indication about how they're going to handle it, how they're going to investigate it, what's going to happen, and likely timescales.
So there does need to be ongoing engagement and reassurance for staff, doesn't there? Because sometimes when we talk about speaking up, it's
we think that actually we're speaking about, the optometrist is speaking up about something, but that something might be another clinician, mightn't it? So I think there does need to be that reassurance for members. How can organisations and companies ensure that this happens?
Yes, I mean, it's interesting, isn't it? Because when we think of speaking up, we always see ourselves as the white knight speaking up. But of course, there's a 50-50 chance that we are likely to be spoken up about. And so within the culture that our guidance is aiming to foster, we hope that practices large and small will, one, provide some training on this, but two, make it part of the way we do business. And so that will include not only supporting people to speak up, but supporting people who are spoken up about. It's about helping one another to improve the care we provide. And anything that we do inadvertently that gets in the way of care, we should try and resolve. The key challenge is for us to be receptive, both as managers and as clinicians, to complaints or to issues that are raised, and to respond positively to them. And taking the general GOC principles of reflective learning, just to reflect on those. The person may be right, they may have something that's right. Even if they're wrong in principle, it may be a perception they've been given, which we could have put right. So there are things we can always learn, even when the thing that's spoken up about is completely wrong. It gives us an insight into how other people are perceiving what's going on.
So David, as a profession, where we stand now, is there a need for a cultural shift in the way optometry operates so that people do feel free to speak up?
Well, I wouldn't call it a cultural shift because that implies something major. It's a slight refocusing, if you like, of what we already do and a widening to make sure that we're capturing everything that could potentially go wrong or be improved in the care we provide. So I don't know whether it's a cultural shift, whether it's more just a cultural awareness and a waking up and an openness to more channels for us to improve our performance and our clinical practice and indeed our business practice. Speaking up can be about anything. It's about extending what we currently do, but in a slightly new direction.
So David, how do you think we can sort of facilitate this increased awareness at this stage? How can we get optometrists to engage in this whole concept of speaking up?
Well, I think optometrists will by and large respond very positively because it's part of professionalism. It's part of what we do. And as soon as the guidance is published, we will start to see speaking up guardians popping up throughout the sector. So there'll be speaking up guardians in the optical bodies. There'll be speaking up guardians in the LOC regional committees and within the companies and medium-sized businesses, and some individual practices may also have their own if someone's particularly interested in this aspect of care. One of the great strengths of the Speaking Up Guardians, I called it a movement earlier in the interview, and I think that's probably a good term, though it is more than that. It's both a principle and a process. But part of the National Guardians Office approach is to connect guardians across the sector. So I think we will see a lot of attention to this and a lot of awareness of people knowing that there is support there when they need it, and to that there is guidance there to help them raise any issues they don't feel happy about or anything that gets in the way of good patient care or public or colleague safety. And I think as a profession, we will embrace it very well. It's not something to be frightened of. It is something to be welcomed and embraced as part of professionalism.
David Hewlett, thank you very much. If you'd like more information about the topics we've covered in this episode, visit our website, docket.info, and search for Sound Optometry to find the resources, reading materials, and contact information. Listening to this podcast and completing the short learning exercise will gain you one CET point. We'd really appreciate it if you spread the word about Sound Optometry. Maybe suggest that your colleagues listen or subscribe to the series so you don't miss an episode. I'm Michelle Hanratty. Thanks for listening.